First chapter 4, verse 11 to 13. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Lord's Day. I want to extend a very warm welcome to all our visitors. Some are returning visitors, which we're thankful for. That's always a good thing. I also want to express a very warm welcome to Nora, who was with us today from the community. And I was blessed because I was in the hospital with Janet, and I got to speak with you, and it was just perfect timing. And I was grateful that I had that opportunity to get to know you, and for you to be here today. We have this thing that we like to do now. I know that you've got a Bible, but as a congregation, everybody who comes, we like to give them a Bible as a gift. Now, you're welcome to pass that on to somebody else or use that. That's one of our brother George, if you did that on behalf of the congregation. Just to welcome you, and by all means feel free if you want to share that with somebody else or keep that. But we welcome you into the assembly today. What a blessing. It's also good that I've got my eldest daughter here today and her family as well with Matt, so we're grateful for that as well. What a blessing it is to come here to recharge and all you really need. I want to say this, that there are people here today, and this is one of the things that I've learned through the ministry over the years, that there are, I know for a fact, people today who are struggling. There are people here today who are struggling with maybe personal situations going on in their lives, people struggling with emotional problems, people struggling with health problems. There are people in this room I know awaiting results of tests and a great amount of burden that falls onto you in those situations. There are people here going through trials. You may be struggling with something right now. There may be something going on in your life. It could be financial, it could be a family issue, it could be a situation that you found yourself in, and maybe a loved one that you're concerned about, somebody who you know means a lot to you, and that they're going through a difficult time as well. I also think of our younger people. You know, a lot of our younger people, they go through great strains in this modern day, and it's surprising. I know that one of the comments that came out from some of the youth events that go on is that how the young people openly talk about the struggles they have, whether it's mentally, through all kinds of struggles and burdens and things that are going on. This is what I say to you right now. This is the best place to be, without any doubt. And you know, just being here and recharging on a Sunday and just coming together, and there's no perfection here. We're all struggling. There's no perfection, there's no one greater. As we say, we're the smallest in the room always. But we share an equality with each other, and this equality is based on the fact that we are Jesus Christ in our life. And he is there to strengthen us, to encourage us, and to help us and guide us. So, whatever your burden today, whatever you're carrying today, whatever's going on in your life, I'm glad you're here. And we want to start our time this morning. I just want to leave a word of prayer for the congregation. Let's pray. Great God and Father in heaven, we humbly come before your presence, knowing that you are here, Father, we know your teaching says where two or three are gathered, you're in arms. And so we come as a body, unified and united through the blood of Jesus. And as we gather this day, Father, we come humbly before you, laying all our burdens and our struggles and our difficulties and the things that we are carrying. Father, one thing we know about you, our great God, is that you know each and every one of us very well. You know what that burden is. You know what that struggle is today. And so, Father, we pray that you will work through us. Help us to be uplifted. Help us to be encouraged. And help us to remember that you are a loving God who gives your love, grace, and mercy. You gave your Son Jesus for our sins, and so we come together united with our imperfections, with our weaknesses, with our struggles, and with our things that we are finding difficult. And we lay them before you this morning, Father, and ask that you strengthen us and be with us and guide us at this time. And we ask this prayer through your Son's most holy and precious name. Amen.
Amen.
One of the things that you'll probably find yourself doing through life is setting goals out. It's always a challenge, isn't it, setting goals out. You want to lose weight, you need to set a goal. I thought we were down here this morning talking about it's got to be in the mindset. You know, if you want to lose weight, you start here. The same with anything in life. You know, we have goals set. Our young people have got goals. Set out their education, their careers, they're choosing their topics and preparing themselves for whatever is coming next. And so they set goals out. We all set our goals with our finances. I'm sure we sit there and we work our budgets out and see how we'll work through the week and how we work through the month and quite often, of course, how we work through the day to get through those things. We have plans in our home, things that we want to do. We have all kinds of goals that we set in our life. I want to encourage you today, if you haven't already, to consider putting a plan together in your life and your Christian life, your Christian work. You know, think about the plan that you have with that. I often think, you know, we've got this beautiful building and it's a great building. You know, we've been here 1 year. We've got things to do, we know that. And with time, we'll work through it and get these things done. But imagine if all we ever did was just spent our time planning on things like our building and planning on things like, you know, these basics. These things are a necessity, but they're not the most important. If we have a goal for everything in our life, all these physical things that we think we're about, but if we don't have a goal for Jesus Christ, then we have a major problem in our life. We have a major problem. And I'll tell you why. The reason this morning it came up in our class in Matthew 6 was, he said, "We seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." It doesn't say don't seek other goals in your life, but it says seek first. Seek first. Quite often we seek second with God and seek first with our needs. So if we as a congregation, all we ever focused on was a building, and we've got to do these things, but if all we ever focused on was the building and nothing else, then we wouldn't be doing the will of God. Because he calls upon us to say, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And then he says, all these things will be added unto you. You see, when we seek God in our life, when we seek him first, we will find that the things that we need will be added by him to us. It doesn't say don't seek other gods, but it talks about how our mindset works when we are seeking things in life. And so my first goal that I would ask you to consider is this. Set yourself a goal of putting Christ first. Put his kingdom first. In the decisions that you make in your life, in the choices that you make in your life, in the things that you decide to do in your life, allow his kingdom to become the priority. Because we are in the kingdom. We are a part of the kingdom. You know, we read about, of course, the famous prayer, you know, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy kingdom is here, through Jesus Christ. And so the kingdom is what we need to seek first. Make that your goal. Make it your goal every day, every decision, every choice that you make in your life. Because as Christians, our priorities should be spiritual in nature. Our priorities should always be that way. Not physical, but spiritual in nature. How will these decisions affect my Christian walk? How will these decisions affect the person that I need to be? How will these decisions I make affect my eternal life with God? Because this life will end very fragile. It's very gentle. If we invest our energies in pursuing spiritual things, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, if we use our energies for that, then God, who knows what we need, will provide. I went through a phase in my life where I always thought I knew what I needed. A whole time of, I know exactly what I need. And nearly every time the things that I thought I needed, I discovered I didn't need. And in fact, they become problems. They become burdens in my life. And they were the things I were pursuing. It took a strong Christian to come to me as a young man and say, Paul, let me tell you something. You know all these things going wrong in your life. Let me tell you something. Have you considered that maybe you're considering what you think you need as opposed to trying to understand what God wants you to have? The only way he said to me you can pursue that is by seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness. Because God knows what we need will provide, we mentioned in our prayer. God knows each one of you. Even without you speaking, even without you telling us what is on your heart and mind today, be assured that God knows. And God is fully aware of that situation. So what should be our goal? Matthew 28 verse 18, and Jesus came up and spoke to them saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. That's the authority. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you, and while I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Our goal should be to go out and share the word of God with everybody we meet. To go out and make disciples. To bring people to Jesus Christ through his holy word. Teaching them. Helping them, guiding them, directing them. That should be our goal. How do we do that if our mind set is focused on what we think we need? How can we do that if our mind is not allowing the kingdom to come first in your life? You see, God is a wise God. And when he put his inspired word together, he knew exactly what he was saying when he put these things together in teaching. We're not told to build church buildings in that passage. We're not told to build church buildings. Now, church buildings are a great tool. They're a great tool. And anything that we can do to further enhance the kingdom, these things are good. These are things we should pursue. These are things that we should seek after. But we are told to build the church. We are told to build the people. I think I mentioned when I was in Malawi in Africa, and with that man, my son-in-law was with me. And, you know, we would go out into the middle of nowhere in Africa, you know, it was there in the middle of nowhere, and crowds of people would just come. Crowds of people. I've never seen so many people. They had walked miles, and they stood outside. And we stood under trees taking the shade and trying to get some cool breeze wherever we could find them. And these people came to hear the word of God, and everywhere they went spreading around Africa the amazing word of God. Quite often they met not in buildings, but they met outside in the trees and in the clearings and in all kinds of places like that. If we preach the gospel, He will provide the building we need, and we discovered that because we also found in many parts where the people had built their own buildings out of mud, and they created these spaces that they could shield from the weather. But one of the things they understood was that they were to make disciples, and they were to bring them to Jesus Christ, and they were to teach them, and that was the goal that they had set. In Ephesians 4, verse 11, and He gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ. That should be our goal. That should be our aim. Our goal and aim. Going out and building and equipping and preparing, and allowing the world to see this amazing message of salvation that is given to us to share. The greatest treasure. Now people ask, you know, why do we give Bibles? Why do we give Bibles away? There is no greater gift. We don't have a treasure as valuable as that. The most precious gift we can give. And so our personal goal is to find our gift. Our personal goal is to use the things that God has blessed you with and use them for His glory. Also opening others to mature in their spiritual walk as well. And each person needs to be responsible, of course, for your own growth. You as a Christian need to take responsibility for yourself. You know, when we leave this earth and we stand before our Lord, He's not going to say, whose fault is it that you have failed? He's not going to ask you, you know, who you want to pass the blame on to. He's going to say, work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. In other words, with respect and love for the powerful message of salvation. Work it out. Make it your goal to work out your walk. Make it your goal to work out your path. You see, each day we have to get up and measure ourselves. We have to examine ourselves. What do I need to work on today? And as I say, we all struggle, every one of us. You know, maybe we have to work on our temper this week. Maybe we have to work on our greed this week. Maybe we have to work on our selfishness or our bitterness or our lack of persevering with others or our failing in love. Each person needs to find the things that we need to change in our lives and work on them, and it takes time. It takes effort. And it's not easy. You see, the scales, when I stand on the scales, they tell me how much I weigh, and they don't lie. They don't lie. They give me a reading. That then allows me to then evaluate what I need to do. And as Brother Gary rightly said in the class today, I need to get this into gear. And I need to start using my mind. This heart, the one here, I need to use that to examine myself and see what I need to get spiritually in shape. That should be your goal. When you wake up tomorrow, in fact, not tomorrow, today, find some time today, sit down and say, what do I need to work on in my life? Write them down and start picking them up and asking others maybe around you to help you. I know when I try and die, you know, I always ask the family to keep an eye on me. They do. It doesn't always help, even if they try. But spiritual escapes is the Word of God. And the Word of God, when we study, it shows us, when we look at the fruit of the Spirit, what does it tell us? It tells us what we need to be, what fruit we should be displaying in our life. And so we can use that as a measurement and say, am I living like that? Am I patient? Am I long-suffering? And all of those things that are displayed in there and people see them, go and ask the closest to you. Go and ask one of your brothers or sisters and say, hey, you look at the fruit of the Spirit, do you see any of that in me? That will allow you to be able to see how you need to change. You can't grow spiritually if you don't have spiritual goals. And you can't have goals if you don't examine yourself. So the first thing we need to do is examine ourselves through the Word of God. And then we've done that, what we then need to do is sit down and start working out a plan for our lives. How am I going to work? How am I going to succeed? How am I going to grow and progress? And so through that examining of myself and through seeing the improvements that are needed in my Christian life, I can then go on with my goals to become better and grow. I remember during COVID, when we wasn't able to meet together, and I remember saying to the congregation, I pray next time we meet, we are all different, but for the good. So that when we come together, we say, wow, you have grown. It's like that when you see a young person. If you haven't seen a young person for a long time, and they were down there, and then they walk through the door, and they're up here, because you haven't seen them for so long, you say, who are you? Wow, what happened? My goodness, you've grown. And we need to be just like that. Matthew 10:22 talks about it is the one who has endured to the end who will be saved. Make it your goal to endure to the end. The devil's going to throw things across your way to trip you, to cause you to fall, to cause you to be weak. All these obstacles, temptations, distractions in your life, he throws before you. And if you haven't made it your goal to endure to the end, you'll fall. And you'll lose your eternal life with God. Because you never set that in your mind. These obstacles, temptations, we must remain faithful. It doesn't say we must be perfect. Because there's no one in this room perfect. This is why it's like a hospital. You go to the hospital, you're surrounded by sick people. Why? Because they're there. They're there for a reason. They're getting physically taken care of. This is the spiritual church. We come here together in order for us to be taken care of. To be able to fix things in our life, to be encouraging to each other, to have words of comfort. I think I'm learning this with Janet as we're going daily to the hospital, and we meet people daily. You know, the same people, we're talking with them. And you see these people are there just anxiously wanting to get through the treatment, to get to the other end, and they're talking about every time you meet them. They tell you how many days they've got left. They've only got so many days left. And they're excited about the goals that is before them. Imagine your Christian life like that. Imagine if each time we come in here, we can sit here and say, I'm getting better. Or this treatment's tough. And listen, it's not easy. You know, I see the treatment with Janet. I see her struggling with it physically. You know, losing her hair again. And you see the weakness. And it's tough. But in order to get to where you need to be, you have to go through those things. Now, we brethren come here on a Sunday with our challenges and trials, and listen, someone may just say something to you that's going to be tough to hear. The Bible class might present something that you don't want to hear, because the teacher's saying you've got to change, or you've got to make some changes, or you've got to take this medicine. You need prayer time, you need study time. Listen, if I didn't turn up in the hospital with my wife, I'm pretty certain within a day they'd be ringing up saying, where was you today? You missed your treatment. So we cannot afford to miss our time together as Christians. We need to be together. And so setting your goal, see how you can use this time to come to this place where we, the spiritual sick, can come together, united, in the same frame of mind, with the same focus and understanding that none of us are perfect. But if we stick together, and he said, if we persevere with the things that our Lord has given, we will spiritually grow, and we will become mature, and we will get through all the weaknesses and sufferings and things that are acting like the physical ailments in our life, these spiritual things. What is your goal for yourself? What is your goal for yourself? What have you determined in your heart to do for you? One of the first things that many physicians will say is, you know, the first thing to say is, hey, what are you here? What is the goal for yourself? What is the goal for your family? What is the goal for your family? Those around you who are looking at you. What is your goal? What is the goal for the church, the body? Because as we said, you know, one of the things I find almost when you go into the hospital ward, we jam, it's like a fellowship. Everybody, in fact, I'm the one on the outside, really, because I'm not the one with the illness. And she's surrounded by a room full of people, hundreds of people, all going through the same thing, and they have everything in common. And they encourage each other and lift each other up. What about in the church with each other? How are we there supporting and aiding and helping one another with our spiritual walk? Because this journey is difficult, brethren. It is so difficult. The lost. What about our goal with the lost? Your next door neighbor, the community, the people you work with, the people that you study with. What is your goal with them? Remember, where does it all begin? It begins by allowing the kingdom to come first. If you put the kingdom first, these things will change. If I set in my heart today, that my goal today when I leave this place, Lord, from now, I'm going to put the kingdom first. I'm going to put the kingdom first and his righteousness. Number one priority in my life. I promise you that I will then suddenly see changes in my life. Because all of a sudden I'm thinking about myself in a spiritual way. I will be thinking about my family. How can I bring my family to the eternal kingdom so that they're not lost? Again, these things will come to be. And the church will see a difference because my goodness will be an army, a formidable army. An army that this world couldn't even begin to imagine. There is nowhere on this planet where you can get this kind of spiritual strength by coming together as a body. You know, we as a congregation, even over the years, we've faced many challenges. We've made mistakes. We've got some things wrong. And we've always been seeking from here, always seeking from here, the answers. I've never heard a brother stand up and say, listen to what I've got to tell you. Every person who stood on this pulpit that I know of has stood up and said, I'm going to share with you a message from this word. Because God's word is the way, the only way. And so through the many challenges and through the changes and the people that have come and the people that have moved on, we together, brethren, we together need to focus internally, spiritually, on our growth, not only individually, but as a body as well. Do you know, the command of love occurs at least 16 times about loving one another. John 13:34, of course, is one that we often refer to, about loving one another. We need to love each other. We need to love each other. We need to feel the pain when someone's suffering. We need to you know, rejoice when someone's rejoicing. But love is an amazing thing. You know, love is about where there are, as we call it, a gap in love. There are no conditions. There are no conditions. My brother wrongs me, but I love him. And I forgive him. And I pray that if I wrong my brother or my sister, that they'll forgive me and continue to love me. In Romans 12 and verse 10, it says, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love. In our giving preference to one another. You see, this is talking about being devoted to each other. It's a devotion to honour one another. In other words, we look up to each other. You know, we never feel above one another, but we are united on this equal plane, on this equal level, to honour one another above whom, above ourselves. Being devoted. Make it your goal to devote yourself to your brothers and sisters. Make it your goal to love your brothers and sisters. Romans 12, 16, be of the same mind. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Every problem can be resolved with Scripture. Every problem can be in a stalemate without it. You will never solve a problem without the Word of God. Be of the same mind toward one another. Harmony. Make it your goal to harmonize with each other, with the church. You know, we come from different walks of life, we come from different backgrounds, we come from different lands. But I see everybody the same, my brothers and sisters in Christ. No difference. We are harmonized together by the love of our amazing God. Romans 14, 19, therefore let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another. Our goal should be to lift each other up, edify each other, encourage one another. To pursue, and I love that word, pursue the things which make for peace. Sometimes we just pursue the things that make conflict. But the Word of God is saying, make it your goal to pursue the things which make for peace. And 1 Thessalonians, of course, 5:11 talks about comforting each other and edifying one another, just as you also are doing. It's an encouragement to continue on. So make it your goal to be a people builder. Building your fellow brethren, build your family and your home. Build your children, build your wife, build your husband. Build together, be like-minded towards one another, Romans 15:5. And have this amazing, powerful relationship in this way. And Romans 15:7 says, therefore receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. And so our relationship with one another should be our goal. So remember, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Everything else falls into place. In our homes, in our families, with ourselves, with our church, brethren. Accept one another. Receive one another. Why? Because Christ did that. That was Jesus Christ. That was what he had. And the final encouragement this morning is this. When I say, do you have goals set in your life? I pray that from today you will have. But Ephesians 5 verse 1 through 2, therefore be imitators of God as dear children and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. In other words, it's pleasing to God. It's pleasing to God. Imitators of God as dear children. You know, being the way that Christ was. Walking in love as Christ walked in love. as he robbed us and gave himself for us as an offering. And so our lives need to be sacrifices to God. Make that your goal. Make your life a sacrifice to God, because he says that that for him is a sweet smelling aroma. It's pleasing to him, and it's something that he wants for us. I pray that whatever you're going through in your life, the first solution without any doubt is seeking first his kingdom. Seek first his kingdom, put him first, allow him an opportunity. I saw something that somebody had put on a poster, and it was talking about, you know, the things in life that fail us and let us down are the things that come from us. But the things in life that never fail us are the things that come from God. My prayer is that we as a congregation can continue to grow and can continue to be strong as we strive to be the best that we can be for his glory. Let's have the invitation. Amen.
Amen. Amen.